a message I want to give today called Faith for Salvation. Faith for Salvation. And, you know, it's very interesting that when you, at least myself, maybe you've hit the same thing, when you ask sometimes somebody about something like the Trinity, you know, I always say the Trinity to me is like a shell game. Because when I ask somebody, particularly maybe a Catholic or somebody, about the Trinity, and you try to ask them, is it three or is it one? Because one minute they're saying it's three, one minute they're saying it's one. And it's like this shell game that they're playing. And at the end of it, when they can't figure it out, they say, well, I just believe it in faith. Has anybody ever said that to you? I believe it in faith. But that is the opposite of faith. Faith is not a proudful, blind acceptance of something that there's no evidence for. Faith, actually, Hebrews 11:1, is the total opposite. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the substance of things that have come to pass, and the evidence of things not having been seen. So faith is substance, faith is evidence, right? All of us came from somewhere. We have a home wherever, right? Now, you don't see your home from here. Maybe relatives you sent, you left behind. You don't see them. Do you doubt they exist? The fact that you don't see maybe your family member or you don't see that home you left, do you doubt it exists because you can't see it? Of course not. Because there's evidence. You lived in there before. You saw them before you came. And it's the same way here. Faith is not blind. You know, that is not in Scripture. That's, I don't know where that came from, but it's certainly not in Scripture. Faith is evidence, substance, and reality. So I want to talk about that today because we're living in a time where it says it'll be a faithless generation. And if there was ever a time where we have the substance and the reality of what we believe in, it's now, right? I mean, think about it. 150 years ago, people did not have concordance, lexicon, even Bible. You know, for the most part, up until maybe a couple hundred years ago, once the printing press came, but a Bible was something that was only in the synagogue or maybe in a congregation. Nobody had a personal copy of a Bible. And today, even myself, I probably have at least 15 or 20 different Bibles, you know, because I like to look. You have Hebrew, you have Aramaic, you have this, you have that. And you look and you compare. And what a blessing we have. And that's why I say there's more evidence. And what did Yahweh do in the end time? You're seeing some of this evidence. You know, the Tabernacle of David, 3,000 years covered up, and just in the last couple of years, it's there. Noah's Ark in Turkey that they find. The Red Sea crossing site. We've been down there many, many times. Unfortunately, because of the situation now with Al-Qaeda and with ISIS being in the Sinai Peninsula, we can't go there. But we went to the very site. We saw the pillar that Solomon put there commemorating that site. The chariot wheels were found in there, in the water. And it's just amazing that, like I said, the evidence that we have today, this should be the most faithful generation that we've ever had since creation. And yet, what does the Bible say? It says the opposite. It says that it will be the least faithful generation. Why? Because, again, Satan also has a system in this world. And his system is a system of fear. It's a system of doubt. And it's a system to try to take away your faith. Because remember, we have free will, but we're not Elohim. And that free will, we can either surrender that free will back to Yahweh or surrender the free will to Satan. It's one or the other. They're the two Elohims that we're dealing with here. The Satan being the Elohim of this particular world and system, Yahweh being the only true Elohim of the universe. So the reality of what we're dealing with, the reality of the resurrection, the reality of eternal life, it's all staring us right before us. We just have to make sure that we're not losing it, because faith is something that you do need for salvation, as we're going to see here today. Isaiah 55 and verse 10 to 11, he says, for as the rain and the snow comes down from the heavens and do not return there, except it waters the earth and makes it bring forth in bud and give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in what I sent it to do. We have Yahweh's promise. And, you know, in our Bible school, one of the first things we do is I have the students write down their belief system. Because every decision you make in life is based on your belief system. And we have empowering beliefs, and we have disempowering beliefs, right? A disempowering belief would be somebody has fear of flying. You know, and actually flying is the safest way of going. Because think about it. When you're going down a highway, you have to trust that every single car on that other side of the road won't come over and hit you. That takes faith, because you don't know any of those people. When you're flying in the air, there's no airplane that's coming close to you. And like I said, there's less airplane crashes than there are car crashes by far. But it's our perception. Somehow our perception. Why? Because you're behind the wheel of that car. And you think when you're in control that it's going to work out okay. And that's our human nature, that we don't want to give our control over to Yahweh. And that's what faith is. It's relying on Him, totally relying. But the Bible, if we have faith and we believe, one of my empowering beliefs is, I totally believe the Bible is 100% true. Doesn't mean that man in a translation might have gotten something wrong, right? So I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, in Yahweh's perfect form, when He gave that original Torah to Moses and the prophets, and even the New Testament inspiration, I believe it's 100% accurate. In Israel, they don't believe that. The Bible is something secondary or third, and like we talked about, some of them not even believing that Solomon and David were real figures. But, you know, it's really interesting because the Bet David stone, you got to see it, right? And it's so amazing here. You know why? Because it said, Bet David, house of David. And yet, we have Psalms. You have about 80 to 100 Psalms that David wrote with his own hand. His feelings against the Yahweh. We have something way better than a tiny little stone that says, Bet David. We have the word of Yahweh. We have Yahweh in the first person talking. I am Yahweh this, I am Yahweh that. All you have to do is believe it, right? And life becomes so much easier when you believe it. And as we're going to see, why it's so much blasphemy not to believe in Yahweh. You know, I've had atheists, many I've even met here in Israel, and they joke, and they laugh, you know, and ha ha ha, and they don't have to listen to anybody. And I tell them, you know, it's pretty funny, because every human that was like you is laying in a box right now, 6 feet under. But Yahweh lives forever. You know, the book of Job, which is probably the oldest book of the Bible, what does Job say? My Redeemer lives. You know, Job 19:25. Job believed in a resurrection. My Redeemer lives. And we, to me, when I came to faith, the most exciting part was, coming out of Catholicism as a young boy, was to see that Yahweh is real. To actually pray and to see He answers my prayers. When I was an early believer, I was just baptized. And I had a bunch of thousands of ants in the back of my house. And I boiled hot water to go and pour on the ants. And when I had the water in my hand, it fell out of my hand. And that scalding hot water fell on my foot. And immediately my foot started bubbling up. And the first thing I did was I called the elder on the telephone. The Bible says in Jacob 5, go to the elders for prayer. And that elder started praying for me on the telephone. And literally those bubbles disappeared. They literally disappeared that happened, that was there. And it showed me Yahweh is real. Praying to Yahweh and getting an answer. Or even feeling His presence to you. I never had that in my life. I never had it. You're not going to get that in religion. And that's why I say you have a decision you have to make. Do you want religion or do you want relationship? You can't have both. And as we're seeing, the religion, all three major religions are man-made. Right? If you look at today, Christianity is a 4th century religion started by Constantine the pagan. Judaism is a 2nd century religion started by Rabbi Akiva. And Islam is a 7th century religion started by Muhammad and his Coptic uncle. So you're not going to get that relationship with Yahweh through religion. You're going to get it through relationship. And that's what He wants. He wants a one-on-one relationship with you. That's what the whole restoration ministry is about. And that's all faith is. Faith is simply believing. It's simply believing in the promises. And like I say, when you do, your life becomes so much easier. Proverbs 9 and verse 10 says, the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. I have a real good message on the fear of Yahweh. And what you see is the fear of Yahweh leads to everything. The fear of Yahweh leads to faith, to wisdom, to repentance, to everything. Because we have to understand, what does the Bible say? In Matthew 10, don't fear him who can kill the body, but fear him who can take your body and soul and destroy it in the Gehenna fire. That there's only one eternal Elohim, all the rest are fake, and there's only one that has the authority to literally make you cease to exist. And that's the one we need to fear. And you know, just like as a child, you know, as you grow up as a child, you fear your father, because as a child, you know, if at least if you're corrected properly, that if you get out of line or you disrespect your father, I know with me, it was a belt buckle I was going to get. You know, and it wasn't pretty. I used to run to the bathroom. That didn't work either. And so you fear your father because he's bigger than you. But as you get older, you know, my dad is in his 80s now, and I'm certainly not physically afraid of him, but I still fear my father because the second definition of fear is reverence. It's respect. And there's not a person on this earth I respect more than my dad. You know, he cared for me. He raised me. He took care of me. And that's the way it should be with Yahweh. That fear, it shouldn't just be a fear of being afraid, but it should be an awe of reverence of who he is. And as you grow in that and you understand more of his love, his mercy, his faith, his patience, wow, we should be in awe of Yahweh not only every day of our life, every minute of every day of our life. And that's what faith is. But if there's a doubt in your mind that he exists, then how could you have reverence for somebody who isn't there? It has to be not 100%, it has to be 1,000%. Because like I said, it may be easy in theory to say, of course I believe in Yahweh. But once something comes up, right? Once you get that sickness that may be terminal, once something happens that you lose all your money or your house is going to be foreclosed, whatever it is, that's where it really comes down to it. You know, not during the times where everything is good, it's during the times of those trials, do you really believe Yahweh is in control? Another one of my empowering beliefs, Romans 8:28, all things work for the good. So no matter what's happening in my life, I know 1,000% Yahweh would have never allowed it except it was for my good. Even trials, we need it. Because that's the test. That's the purification. So when you have these empowering beliefs, your life will be amazing. Without, as we're going to see, if doubt comes in, it's a problem. The opposite of faith is fear. At the school, it's an acronym that we say, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. But it's not real. It's false evidence appearing real. And that's all fear is. Fear is not, and you want to know something? It's statistically proving about 90% of fears never come about. People sit there and they're always fearing this or fearing that. 90% of fears never happen. But what it does is it will change your thinking. It will change your mindset. And it's the opposite of faith. Because you can't say you believe in Yahweh 100% and then have fear, right? Many believers have fear of the end time. How can you have fear of the end time when Daniel 7 says, and Yahweh was given to the saints to take over the kingdom? How can you have fear of the end time when it says, don't worry about saving the flesh. It doesn't matter if we die today, we're going to be resurrected and be with him forever. If you believe that, then what can harm you? And that's the power of the New Testament. Never before was there ever a time where human beings were given the promise of immortality like that. Right? And that's what Yeshua gave his disciples. Once the Holy Spirit came into them, you don't have to fear anything. Somebody comes in and curse Yeshua or die, make my day. Because the minute he blows my head off, it's going to seem like a second. It doesn't matter whether 1,000 years went by or 1 year. It'll seem like a second. I'll be in his kingdom. So you know what? I'm not looking to hold on to this life. And like, what is our calling in this life? It's not holding on. It's giving up. It's giving up. Every day you're giving up something different, right? We have to give up our possessions. We have to give up our pride, our selfishness. And to the point you have nothing else to give up but your very life. And then you become a living sacrifice. And now every day your life you are giving up. So if Yahweh wills to take this flesh is only holding me back. That's my battle. Because when the resurrection comes, I will shed this flesh. I will go and meet him in the air as a glorified spirit being. And then I'm not going to have to worry that, wow, I'm tired. I can't walk. I'm hungry. I can't do it. I'm sick. I can't do this. I'm crippled. I can't walk over here. My body is only holding me back. So why am I trying to hold back my body? That's all faith is. It's relying on Yahweh and his perfect timing. It's trusting 100% that what he says here is true. And what that means is everyone that has already made this commitment, that has been immersed into the name of Yeshua, the only name that has salvation, and has received the Spirit of Yahweh, you have eternal life already dwelling in you. You don't have immortality because that eternal life can be taken away if you go back on this walk. But we already have eternal life. So if we're faithful, why would we fear death? And why would we fear anything for that reason? So fear is the false evidence appearing real, but it's not real. And I'll tell you something. Fear leads to doubt, and doubt will lead to totally taking away any part of your faith. Let's go to 1 John 4. 1 John 4. He says, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is of Yahweh. And everyone who loves has been generated from Elohim and knows Elohim. The one who does not love has not known Elohim, because Elohim is love." You know, the nine fruits of the Spirit. And this is the main tube of the menorah, you know, that's coming up there. "But this was the love of Elohim toward us made known, because Yahweh sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live by him. And this is love, not that we loved Yahweh, but he loved us, and he sent his Son for the atonement of our sins." Drop down to verse 16. "And we have known and we have believed the love which Elohim has in us. Yahweh is love, and the one abiding in love abides in Elohim, and Elohim in him. By this, love has been perfected with us, that we have confidence in the day of judgment, and as he is, we are also in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear brings torment, and the one fearing has not been perfected in love. We love him because he loved us first. If anyone says, 'I love Elohim,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one not loving his brother, whom he has seen, how is he able to love Yahweh, whom he has not seen? And we have this commandment from him, that he who loves Elohim ought to also love his brother," right? So fear does bring torment. And I praise Yahweh that he's blessed me. I don't have fear. I don't have fear of anything except Yahweh. Because I know if I'm in his will, what do I have to fear? What is there to fear when you're in the will of Yahweh? But like I said, fear brings doubt. And doubt is the opposite of faith. Doubt, you could say, is a cancer cell of your faith. And it will totally, absolutely destroy it. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please Yahweh. For it is right that the one drawing near to Yahweh should believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him." Well, of course, right? Of course. How on earth can you even have 99% faith and 1% doubt and think you're going to please Yahweh when you can't even believe that he's there? You can't 100% believe in his word. And I'll tell you, how to prove it to yourself. Just logically think to yourself, right? I say that, I use the analogy of the electric company. I say sometimes people have more faith in the electric company than they do in Yahweh. What do I mean? Well, we all had electric, we all get electric bills. And if you've ever been in the situation, could be electric or anything else, where you're a little bit behind in the bill, and all of a sudden the bill comes with red in it. Any bill with red, you're in trouble, right? Because you're past due. And then the bill says, "If you don't pay by May 30th, you will be shut off." Right? And what happens? People get afraid, and you better believe May 29th, you're going to be in that office and you will be paying that bill. What does that show? That shows that you have faith in the electric company. You have faith that they're going to perform what they said. That letter came. They said they're going to shut it off, and you believe that. And then if I ask, I've never had anyone in the world ever tell me they know the name of the person who owns their electric company. Anybody here know it? I don't know who owns my electric company. But boy, you'll have faith in him. You have faith that he will perform what he said to do. So if we can have faith in the electric company, why can't we have faith in the word of Yahweh? Why can't we believe that Yahweh will perform exactly what he said? Another way to look at your to challenge yourself is this. If I were to tell you, I just got a job offer today from a person over here in the city, and he offered us a job that if you work 80 hours a week, he'll pay you $1 every week. How many people would like that job? Now, some brethren, that's all they may make in Africa and other places, believe it or not. But I would think for most people, you don't think that's a good trade, right? 80 hours of your time, because your time is your most valuable asset. And if I got to work 80 hours in a week and just get $1, that's not good. Well, what if I was to tell you that I have another offer that somebody said this afternoon, if we go and rake their leaves in the back here for 2 hours, they'll give each of us $1 million. Now, we're not money-based, right? But I would think if each of us got $1 million, there's a lot we can do with that, right? We can build churches, kibbutzes, we can help all our brethren. So I would take that trade, rake leaves for 2 hours, $1 million. Wow, I can change a lot of lives with that. And yet, Yahweh is telling us now that what we do now, from today until he returns, you will get an eternal inheritance. It's way more than $1 million, because the $1 million can come and go. You want to know something? They did a poll, and they found out that the vast majority of people who won lotteries, where they won like $1 million, the vast majority of them within 10 years not only lost $1 million, they were in debt more than what they started with. So we know, you know, money may be here today, but money could be gone tomorrow. But you have an eternal promise. Yahweh says the fruit you bear today, if you work for him, he's calling you as a worker, and what you do today, until he comes, he will bless you for eternity. Remember the parable, the worker in the field, right? You know, the one started early in the morning, and he said he'll give him a denarii, and then they came at 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock and even 2 o'clock. And the person only worked 1 hour, like now we're in the last hour before Yeshua returns. They got the same reward. So do you believe that? Do you believe Yahweh's word? Do you believe when Yeshua says, unless you bear fruit, you'll be withered and thrown away? Because you know what? As we're going to see, faith is evidence, faith is substance, and your deeds is the evidence of your faith. So if you're saying you believe something and there's no deed to back it up, then you know who you are, you're a hypocrite. And you know where the word hypocrite comes from? It's a Latin word. It means actor. A hypocrite is an actor. He's somebody who comes here in front of people and he portrays a certain way, but then going out there, it's somebody who's totally different. You know, it's like the pastor, there's a Protestant pastor, and all of a sudden he's going to join with this other Lutheran church, and the Lutheran leader says to him, but you're a Protestant pastor, you know. How are you going to come to our church? What do you, you know, you won't know what to teach. He said, well, tell me what to teach and I'll do it. It was a job to him. It wasn't a belief system. And that's the way many people are. There's no faith behind what they're believing. You know, as long as you're going to give me money, just tell me. I'll preach anything you want me to preach. So we have to make sure that there's substance beyond what we believe. And it starts with belief in Yahweh 100%. And what that means is, right, I am Yahweh. You shall have no other Elohim before me. First commandment. First and greatest commandment. When Yahweh says, I remember I was in Africa one time, I had the blessing in Uganda, I was with 60 Sunday pastors, and we were going over for 4 hours, and somebody was asking the question. He said, well, I know the Bible says you're not to work on Shabbat, but, you know, I have a company, you know, and my company, I bring Coca-Cola to these people, and if I don't bring them Coca-Cola on Saturday, I wouldn't be showing love for them. I said, well, you're really not showing love for them bringing them Coca-Cola any day. You know, Coca-Cola, sugar water, but that's another story. But I looked at him and I said, what is it about thou shall not that you don't believe? What is it? It's very clearly, and you want to know something, Yahweh is very clear that he, like Yom Kippur, if you work on this day, you will die. Same with the Sabbath day. It's a day that Yahweh set apart from creation. And it's a day that has always been there. Yeshua is called the master of the Sabbath. In the millennium, it says from new moon to new moon and from Sabbath to Sabbath, Isaiah 66, all flesh will come and worship me. So what is it? What would it be that we don't understand about that? What is it that's so complicated? We don't believe it. We simply wouldn't believe it. It's either you believe it or you don't. And if you believe it, I've had people that tell me, I believe in the Sabbath, but if an emergency comes up, I'll go and work. That's not believing in the Sabbath. Because Yahweh says, in seed time and harvest, it doesn't matter when it is, 52 weeks a year, you rest on the Sabbath. I've had people tell me, well, you know, I work, I'm a fireman. And, you know, there is an emergency. I say, well, that's okay, but you want to know something? 99 out of the 100 other firemen are not Sabbath keepers. So they have plenty of people that can go. And of course, if there's an emergency, it doesn't matter whether it's a Sabbath or not. You're not going to let your neighbor's house burn down, right? But for the most part, if you simply tell your work, I don't work on Saturday, they're not going to call you on that day. And unless it's a real emergency of life and death, you won't do it. And like I said, if you're telling me you believe in these things and you're not keeping them, you're a hypocrite. I'm not saying it. That's what Yahweh's saying. That's what Yeshua's saying. He calls us hypocrites if we verbally say something and we do something else. Let's go to the book of Jacob. Let's go to the book of Jacob. Jacob 1 and verse 5. Jacob 1 and verse 5. He says, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask from Elohim, who gives to all freely and with grace, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith," right? Let him ask in faith, "doubting nothing. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea being driven by the wind and being tossed. For do not let that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Almighty." You know, I've had people, they ask for anointing, for healing. The Bible says, Jacob 5, go to the elders of the congregation. And then the minute after they're anointed, they're all worried about their sickness. And I said, but you were just healed. You asked for anointing, I prayed for you, and you're healed. Do you believe it or don't you believe it? You know? And sometimes I say Yahweh leaves a scar there, right? So maybe I'm praying for healing of my back, and the elder prays for me, and my back still hurts. But it doesn't mean I'm not healed. You know, Yahweh just hasn't taken away the pain yet. But the minute I'm prayed for, I'm healed. Because, you know, all sickness to one degree or another, where does it come from? It comes from sin. Maybe not your sin, but someone's sin. There was no sickness in the Garden of Eden, right? Nobody was sick. Nobody was coughing. Nobody had a broken leg. Nobody had cancer. There was no sickness there. Because everything was perfect. And what caused sickness was mankind lacking the faith in Yahweh and going his own way. Adam and Eve. Why did Adam and Eve eat of the fruit that Yahweh said not to eat of? They lacked faith. They lacked belief. They believed Satan when Satan said, "Surely you will not die." And they thought, "Well, Yahweh said I'll die. The snake said I won't die." They believed the snake. That's all it comes down to. It's belief. And I'm telling you, it will change your life like never before. And it doesn't matter what the outcome. I've had people that were sick, some of them terminally sick, and they told me, "No, I believe I'll be healed." And I said, "It's not that you believe you will be healed. You believe you can be healed. How do we know it's Yahweh's will that we'll be healed, right?" And many of those people that said, "No, no, no, I know I'll be healed," they died. Because they were trusting in themselves. They weren't trusting in Yahweh. So when I'm sick, I go to the elder and I ask for anointing, and that's it. Because you know what? Maybe the best thing for me at that time is to be sick. Maybe Yahweh's teaching me something through that sickness. So if I still have the sickness, now I'm praying, "Yahweh, what is it I need to learn?" I don't need to tell him when to heal me. All I need to do is follow his instruction of going to the elder and being anointed. It's up to him. That's faith. And that's why I say, faith is knowing you can be healed, not you will be healed. Because once you're healed, where's the faith, right? There's no faith when you're well. It's easy for me to stand up here and say, "Wow, it's have faith in Yahweh for healing." But it's another thing if I have cancer and I'm ready to die. That's where the faith comes in. So the faith is knowing you can be healed, not that you will be healed. And it's trusting because the healing isn't in this life. The healing is in my eternal life. And like I said, believe me, I love life. I am the happiest person in the world. But when Yahweh says my time is up here, I'll go with a smile on my face. Don't shed any tears for me, because that's what I'm living for. I'm not living for this nightmare of a world of Satan the devil. I'm living for them. But I know one thing. As long as he has me here, with every breath, I want to serve him. With every breath. And there is not a doubt in my mind. Why? Because he's shown me everything. What would make us doubt? And I say to people sometimes, I've counseled some people that were having some doubts in their faith. And I said, you know, sometimes what you have to look at, because this is the way Satan works, right? Satan will only throw things at you that try to put doubt in your mind, this isn't good or this isn't good. But he never gives you the alternative. And if Yahweh doesn't exist, what's the alternative? Really, there is no alternative. How on earth did everybody get here? How did the world get here? How did the human being get here? You know, with the billions of cells we have, and if everything isn't exactly right in our body, nothing would work. How did all this come if there's not Yahweh? So sure, somebody can sit there and tell you that they don't believe in this, or who created God, and all their nonsense, right? Because they're not thinking in eternal life. You know, they're thinking in time, not in eternity. But at the end of the day, what is the alternative? The only alternative I've heard people say is, well, maybe we came from aliens. Maybe there were aliens here and they came down. And I'm thinking, you don't believe in the Bible and you're going to tell me that? Come on. Come on. And why don't people want to believe? I tell atheists that. I say, look, nobody is that stupid. There is nobody on this earth that's that ignorant and stupid to think we all came here from a blob or we all came here from nothing, that nothing exploded and here we are. The reason why, I tell them, the reason why you don't want to believe is you don't want accountability to it. It's that simple. Because once you say, okay, you proved it to me, you could prove it scientifically. It's not, like I said, faith is evidence. We have way more evidence to prove there's a creator, something created this. It didn't come from nothing. Matter doesn't just come from nothing. But on the other end, once that person says, okay, I agree with you, there had to be a creator, now there's accountability. Because now he tells us we have to do something, right? And that's the reason why many people don't come to faith, right? How many times have you talked to someone, you show them that Christmas and Easter are pagan, where they have to agree with you. It's a fact. But then why don't they come into the truth? Because now there's accountability. Now you got to change, right? You got to tell your family you're not going to be there at Christmas this year. You got to tell your boss I can't work on Saturdays anymore. You know, there's going to be changes in your life, and that's what people don't want. They don't want the accountability. But at the end of the day, there's one I want to be accountable to, Yahweh. I don't want to be accountable to man. I want to be accountable to Yahweh. And Satan has people thinking, it's the worst lie in the world, thinking that the Torah enslaves you when it's the total opposite. The Torah is freedom. You know why? Because I believe in the Torah, I'm not going to commit adultery on my wife. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to steal. And like I said, go from Genesis to Revelation. There's only blessings for obedience. There's not one time you could find in the Bible, if you're obedient, you're going to be cursed. No, there's cursings for disobedience. There's blessings for obedience. And what does it say? Sin brings death. Sin brings death. So in faith, we have to believe this. We have to believe what Yahweh says. And we have to wait on his timing. Luke 18, verse 7. Luke 18 and verse 7. Actually, a little bit of a scary scripture. Will not Elohim do all the more vengeance for his elect who call on him by day and by night? And he will be long-suffering with them. Hallelujah, praise Yahweh. I say to you that he will do their vengeance quickly. Nevertheless, the Son of Man will indeed come. And will he find faith on the earth? You know, we're living in the most faithless world you've ever seen. Will he find faith on the earth? And he also spoke this parable to some of those relying on themselves, that they are righteous and despising the rest. So, you know what? Everybody has faith in something. Not everybody has faith in Yahweh, but everybody has faith in something. And either you have faith in Yahweh or you have faith in yourself. And that's what he's saying here. Because everybody believes in something. So if you're not believing in Yahweh, why is it a lot of times? Because you don't want to surrender. But you sure trust yourself. You know, you will. And that's why I said, when you're driving on that highway, you have no problem driving that highway, even though that guy on the other side of the road at any time can come across and kill you. You know why? Because you're trusting yourself. Well, I'll turn. I'll get away. I don't trust in the pilot in the plane, but I'll trust in myself to drive. And that's the problem, like he's saying here. If you're trusting in yourself, you can't trust in Yahweh. It's got to be one or the other. Go to Revelation 3, because we're living in the Laodicean era. And what does Laodicean mean? Ruled by the people. It's where the people don't want to trust in Yahweh and his word. They want to trust in themselves. Revelation 3 and verse 14. And to the messenger of the congregation of Laodicea write, these things say the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the head of the creation of Elohim, talking about Yeshua. I know your works and that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold nor hot, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I am about to vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and I am made rich and I have need of nothing. And do you know that you are miserable and a wanderer and poor and blind and naked? You know, sometimes there's people like that, that you can't give them something. You try to give them something, they say, no, I don't want it. I don't know. Because if somebody is rich and increased with goods, they need nothing. But you know what? I realized a long time ago that even if I don't need something, if someone gives me a dress, there's not a whole lot I can do with a dress. But Somebody else may need it. So I don't want to take your blessing away. So I don't want to say, no, I don't need it. If you give it to me, I'm going to be thankful. And if I don't need it, I'll give it to somebody else. That's Yahweh's economy. But I don't want to be self-righteous, because you know what that means? If I need nothing, I'm a Laodicean. Yahweh has us, we're supposed to be 100% dependent on Him and codependent on each other. And if my life is not codependent on each other as brethren, there's something wrong in my life. I'm missing something. I'm becoming or am a Laodicean, that it comes from it. And it's very interesting. If you look at this, the problem is the Laodicean doesn't see he's a Laodicean, right? Because pride is the one sin that it's very hard to see, because pride is simply lifting yourself, giving yourself a self-worth that's not real. And we don't see it. And why is that? Because it's very interesting. If you look at lukewarm water, right? And we know lukewarm water is really good for nothing except inducing vomiting. But if you took your hand and you put it in ice cold water for 20 seconds, and then you took your hand out and put in that lukewarm water would feel hot. If you took your hand and put it in scalding hot water and took it out and then put in the lukewarm water, that water would feel cold. And that's the problem. The lukewarm Laodicean, he's looking at the world and seeing how bad they are and thinking, wow, boy, homosexuality, this and that. I'm not like that. I'm doing good. And yet Yahweh says no. He says, no, you're not showing faith in me. There's more to this. You're not surrendering, right? So this is really serious. We don't want to become like this. And then he says, I advise you to buy for me gold, having been fired by fire. It's our trials that purify us, that you really may be rich. And white garments, that you may be clothed, and your shame and your nakedness may not be revealed. And you anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. I pray to Yahweh every day for that. Give me eyes to see. Because so many people out there don't have eyes to see. It's sad when you look in the world, right? As we're going around, you probably see that. So many people going to the same places we're going to, but they don't have eyes to see what Yahweh is showing them. Very, very sad. Okay, let's go to Daniel 3. Let's look at a couple of examples now of faith and trust in Yahweh. Daniel, the 3rd chapter, in verse 12. Daniel 3 in verse 12. There are men, Jews, whom you have set over the business of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, do not pay attention to you. So they're telling King Nebuchadnezzar about these three Jewish youth that they're not following what the king's saying. He says, these men, O king, do not pay attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in anger and wrath, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said to them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you are not serving my gods, nor worshipping the golden image which I have set up? Now if you are ready, at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, the cornet, the lyre, the harp, and the bagpipe, and all the kinds of music, fall down and worship the image which I have made. But if you do not worship, in that moment you will be thrown into the middle of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is that Elo who shall deliver you out of my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to return a word to you on this matter. If it is so that our Elohim, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery fire, then we will be delivered out of your hand, O king. And if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods nor worship the golden image in which you've set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression of his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and again Abednego. He spoke and directed that the heat of the furnace 7 times, remember we talked about punishment, 7 times condensement of punishment, 7 times more than it is usual to heat it. And he ordered mighty men of valor in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to throw them into the burning, fiery furnace. Then these men were tied up in their coats, their gowns, and their hats, and their other clothes, and were thrown into the middle of the burning, fiery furnace. Then, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So this was a hot, hot fire. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the middle of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was amazed, and he rose up in haste. He spoke and said to his royal officials, "Did we not throw three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They replied and said to the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "Behold, I see four men loose, walking in the middle of the fire, and there is no harm among them. And the form of the fourth is like the son of Elohim," right? Any fire you go through, Yeshua is right there. He's right there with you if you believe. If you call out to him, if you believe, you're never alone, right? He's always there with you. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace. He answered and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High Eloah, come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the midst of the fire. And the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's royal officials assembled. And they saw the fire had no power over the bodies of these men. And the hair of their head was not scorched, nor were their coats changed, nor had the smell of the fire even clung to them. Can you imagine? Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, "Blessed be the Eloah of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his messenger and has delivered his servant who trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and have given their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any Eloh except their own Elohim. And a decree is sent out by me that every people, nation, and language who speak anything amiss about the Eloh of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he will be made into mere members, and his house shall be made into an outhouse, because there is no other Eloh who is able to deliver like this." Then the king made Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego prosper in the province of Babylon. Wow, what a story of faith, right? Let's go to one more story. Let's go to Acts, the 6th chapter, and see the great story of faith of Stephen. Acts, the 6th chapter. So we see by their faith, they're delivered. Acts 6 in verse 15. I'll start in verse 7 of Acts 6. It says, "And the word of Yahweh was increasing, and the number of the disciples in Jerusalem were multiplying exceedingly. Even a great crowd of the priests were attending to the faith," right? Probably Essenes. "And Stephen was full of faith and power and was doing wonders and great signs among the people." Great early disciple is Stephen here, a deacon. And then we see verse 15, "And having looked intently at him, all those having sat in the Sanhedrin saw his face as it were the face of an angel." So now he's taken before them, you know. They're ready to stone him. And here it is, he's boldly in faith, not doubting anything, and they're literally seeing his face as the face of an angel or a cherub. Let's go to Acts 7 now, and verse 42. Acts 7 and verse 42, because now he starts going into this whole story of the Exodus and how Yahweh protected all faith stories. Faith, faith, faith. And let's start down to verse 42. He says, "But Elohim turned and gave them over to serve the host of heaven, as it has been written in the book of the prophets, 'Did you bring slain beasts and sacrifices to me 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? And you took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god, Rephaim.'" Many people think that's the six-pointed Jewish star. "And the figures which you made in order to worship them, and I will remove you beyond Babylon. The tabernacle of the testimony was among our fathers in the wilderness, as he spoke to Moses and commanded to make it according to the pattern which he had seen, which also he brought in, our fathers having received with Joshua in the taking of possession of the nations, whom Elohim drove out from the face of our fathers until the days of David, who found favor before Yahweh and asked to find a tabernacle for the Elohim of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house, but the Most High does not dwell in sanctuaries made by hands, as the prophet says, 'Heaven is my throne, and the earth a footstool of my feet. What house do you build for me, says Yahweh? Or what place of my rest? Did not my hands make all these things? Oh, stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and in ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, you do also. Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? And your forefathers have killed those who foretold about the coming of the righteous one, he whom you delivered up and whom you killed, talking about Yeshua, who received the Torah by the command of cherubs and did not keep it. And when they had heard these things, they were filled with anger within themselves, and they were gnashing their teeth against him. But being full of the Holy Spirit, looking intently into the heaven, he saw the glory of Elohim and Yeshua standing at the right of Elohim. And he said, behold, I see the heavens being opened and the Son of Man standing at the right of Elohim. And crying out with a loud voice, they held their ears and all of them rushed upon him. And they seized him and took him outside the city and they were stoning him. And those who testified against him laid their garments at the feet of a certain young man who was called Shaul. And they were stoning Stephen while he prayed. And he said, our master, receive my spirit. And after he knelt down, he cried with a loud voice and said, our master, do not cause the sin to stand against them. And having said this, he fell asleep. Wow. Wow, what a story, right? And my question is, we read Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? They had faith in Yahweh. They went in this fire and they came out. And now we read the story of Stephen, who also had faith, and he's stoned to death. Did Stephen have less faith than Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? No, of course not. And that's why I say, faith is not knowing you will be healed. Faith is knowing you can be healed. Faith is not knowing that it's going to work out your way. Faith is believing whatever works out is the will of Yahweh. That there's nothing that will happen in your life that is not for your betterment. Because you know what? The way I feel is, if I'm outside of Yahweh's will, I want that trial. Because I don't want to be outside of His will. And maybe I don't know it. And the trial will bring me back into His will. So what I need to do is, that's where my prayer needs to be. Not necessarily praying for this to stop what I don't want, but praying why it's there to begin with. What is it? Faith is evidence. Faith is substance. Faith is reality. Faith is deeds. Romans 10. Romans 10 and verse 13. Romans 10 and verse 13. For everyone who may call on the name of Yahweh will be saved. Great scripture, right? It's come from Joel 2:32. We've read that early in the feast. How then may they call on one whom they have not believed? And how may they believe one whom they have not heard? And how may they hear without a preacher? Right? Many people say, oh, never follow men. Not a good way to look at it. Because Yahweh sends the men. How will they hear without a preacher? And how may they preach if they are not sent? Even as it has been written, how beautiful the feet of those who preach the good news of peace, of those preaching good things. Comes from Nahum and also Isaiah. But not all obeyed the good news, for Isaiah says, Yahweh, who has believed our report? Then faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Elohim. And like I said, the way that Yahweh made our minds are, we're creatures of habit. And whatever you're focusing on becomes most real to you. And I say every year at the Bible school, I learn a major lesson from Yahweh. The very first one was, environment is 90% of your battle. Environment is 90% of your battle. If you're in a bad environment, look out. You're starting out with two strikes, with two hands behind your back. You have to put yourself in a conducive environment to serve Yahweh. Like he says here, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of Elohim. So, if you're not reading your Bible every day, if you're not praying without ceasing, if you're not fasting often, and you're not meditating regularly, what's going to happen? Whatever you focus on becomes most real to you. That job that you're working 80 hours a week, that may just be a worldly job that has nothing from Yahweh, that's going to be your whole focus. That's going to be your focus. We have to make sure we're studying, we're praying, we're fasting, and we're meditating. The four mandates to keeping yourself straight. Faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Elohim. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, rather, into all the earth their voice went out, and to the ends of the world their words. The good news going throughout the world. So, right? Although the children of Israel be as the sands of the sea, only a remnant will be saved. That's right before this. That's in chapter 9. So not everybody that hears will listen. Why? Because they're hardening their hearts like the children of Israel did in the wilderness. But I say, did not Israel know? First, Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by a non-nation, by an unwise nation, I will anger you, right? And now you have two nations. You have the physical nation of Israel that we're in right now, with a government run right now by the Likud and Prime Minister Netanyahu. And then you have a spiritual nation of Israelites, the Ephraimites, the northern tribes. We're not here in our land yet, but we're a nation. We have more people than live here. We're all over the world. We just haven't come home yet. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those not seeking me. I became known to those not inquiring about me, right? Wow. Praise Yahweh. That for whatever reason, he called each of us, but he sought us out and we took that call. But to Israel, he says, all the day I stretched out my hands to a disobeying and contradicting people. So, again, we need the preachers to go out. How beautiful the feet of those who preach the good news of peace, of those preaching good things. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Elohim. Jacob 2. Jacob, the second chapter. Because, like I said, if you say you have faith and you don't have deeds, then you're nothing. The deed is the evidence of your faith. Jacob 2 and verse 14. My brothers, what is the gain if anyone says he has faith, but he does not have deeds? Is faith able to restore him to life? But if a brother or a sister is naked and may be lacking in daily food, and any one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, but does not give to them the things the body needs, what is the gain? So also, faith, if it does not have deeds, is dead by itself. That's why I say, praise Yahweh, that we have no employees in our congregation, you know, paid a big paid staff or buildings and all that stuff. No paid elders, let me say, you know. We don't have a big headquarters. We don't have a building. We have no overhead. So we're not taking 80% of our tithe and putting it to administration. You want to know something? When you're profit, 501(c), when you're non-profit, only 5% of your money needs to go to the charity. And 95% can go to, you know, the salaries and limousines and everything else. So we're not 501(c). We're not non-profit. And 100% of our money is going toward working for the congregation. And every single person, you know, we've had, through the years, we've had storms, we've had this, we've had brothers, recently some of the brothers here, the Hefkibbutz being started. Whether you're a widow and you're praying for them, and the widow mite, you had $1 you put in, or whether you're blessed by Yahweh and you're making good money and you're tithing more, every single one of us are part of that. You know, so it's not a kibbutz just for the people living there. It's all of us. Every one of us that put into it, right? And that's what he's saying here. That if you see your brother is in need, and we have most of our congregation, you know, from all the statistics I've seen, we are the largest sacred name congregation worldwide by far. But 90-95% of our membership is in the third world. You know, it's not in Western society where there is a lot of money, you know. But the point of it is, that's why all of us that have collectively worked for this are part of that. And that's what he's saying. Faith without deeds are dead. Do you want to be part of something bigger than yourself? You know, and we could do that. We could take our own tithe and decide what we want to do with it. And that's good. And maybe you're doing something good, or maybe you're not doing something good. But we're doing something worldwide. We're doing something I could never do. So it's not me, because I don't have any money. You know, I'm not the one putting in all the money to help the people. The brethren are. And like I said, whether you're a prayer warrior, I have people when I travel that pray for me the whole time. And I know the success of that trip is by those prayers, you know, because Yahweh is hearing the prayers of the saints, the prayers of the righteous. And that's all faith. It's faith that we're trusting in each other. It's faith that we're helping each other, because the body is one. The body is Ikad. You know, and we're only as strong as our weakest member. And as we know, where does Satan come when he comes? He comes for the weakest link. But just like a chain in a bicycle, you break that link and then all the rest of it is going to go flowing down. So we have to understand this. So also, faith, if it does not have deeds, is dead by itself. But someone will say, you have faith and I have deeds. Show me your faith apart from your deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that Elohim is one, Ikad, you do well. But even the demons believe and shudder, right? They believe that Elohim is united. But are you willing to know, O vain man, that faith apart from deeds is dead? Was not your father Abraham justified by his deeds, offering up his son Isaac on the altar? You see how faith helped with his deeds, and how it, by his deeds the faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, saying, and Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, And he was a friend of Elohim. And like I said, wow, even to the point of Abraham, kill your child, that he didn't even doubt. Can you imagine? No doubt, because you know what? He believed in the promise of Yahweh, and he knew, I may kill him, but Yahweh will raise him up. He already made a promise. He said that this little boy is going to be, you know, all the seed that he's going to have is going to be blessed over the earth. So he's telling me to kill him. He'll have to raise him up. Perfect example of the resurrection, but never doubt did he have. You see then how a man by his deeds becomes righteous and not by faith alone. In the same way, Rahab the innkeeper was also justified by her deeds, having received the messengers and sending them out by another way. For as the body is dead apart from the spirit, so also faith without deeds is dead. That's why I say, that's religion. Religion is faith without deeds. It's people that say they believe something, but they don't live it. But real relationship is trust, it's faith, it's believing in Yahweh, and believing in everything he says. John 15, in verse 1, I am the true vine, Yeshua is speaking, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me not bearing fruit, he takes it away, and everyone bearing fruit, he prunes, so that it may bear more fruit. We know that from pruning, how you prune, you know, after the harvest, you prune your trees, and then it's going to grow back more the next time. You are already pruned because of the word which I've spoken to you, and our trials are a lot of that pruning. Remain in me and I in you, as the branch is not able to bear fruit of itself unless it remain in the vine. So neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, this man will produce plentiful fruit, because without me you are not able to do anything. Unless one remains in me, he is cast out as the branch and is dried up, and they gather and throw them into a fire, and they are burned, right? The lake of fire, no fruit, no kingdom. If you remain in me, and my word remains in you, whatever you desire, you will ask, and it will happen to you. Got to believe in faith, though. Remember, Jacob 1, whoever doesn't believe will get nothing. In this, my Father is glorified, that you should bear much fruit, and you will be disciples of me. And that's why I said, right? Going back to, would you rake leaves for 2 hours for $1 million? Here, Yahweh is offering us the universe. Romans 8 says that we will be co-heirs with Yeshua of the universe. My mind can't concept just being ruling in Jerusalem. Never mind the earth, and never mind the universe, where there's billions of planets and billions of stars, and just keeps going on eternally and eternally. And he doesn't say that I will eternally allow you to live there as a slave to me. He says, no, you will be children of mine, sons and daughters. And Yeshua says he is not ashamed to call his brethren, and we will be co-heirs of the universe. What does that mean to you? You know? But again, it's not the false concept that there's nothing to do, there's a lot to do. And that's why now it's time to prepare, now it's time to bear fruit, it's time to prove to him. Life is a test. Whether you live 30 years or 30 something years like Stephen did, or whether you live 120 years like Moses did, it makes no difference of the time. What matters is the quality. Life is a test. The little bit of time that Yahweh gave us here is for one thing, to see if he can trust us with immortality. He doesn't want another Satan the devil. He doesn't want another problem like he had in the Garden of Eden. You know, he's eradicating that problem, and that's what it is. Life is a test. It's a test when we work, right? So wherever we're working, it doesn't matter if I'm a worker in the field somewhere or if I'm working in a hotel somewhere, I'm still going to be honest. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to cheat. So wherever you are, the test is always the same. Remember what we said? Find the principle. Yahweh doesn't change. So it doesn't matter what you're doing. What matters is being faithful in what you're doing and bearing fruit. And never compromising. Never compromising. Because once you compromise, you know what you did? You just lost everything of you. You lost all your character with that. You have to hold on to what you believe, because compromise comes from what? It comes from doubt. It comes from fear. And we can't fear men. We have to fear Yahweh. Your whole eternal existence depends on the fruit you're bearing now. We don't know when the kingdom's coming. Is it 5 years, 10 years, 15 years? No one knows, but we know it's short. And everything you do from today until the time Yeshua returns, your eternal inheritance depends on what you do now. And if you really believe this, if you really believe this, then why would so many work so hard in Satan's earthly system that's perishing and so little in the kingdom of Yahweh? That's a rhetorical question for each to ask themselves. We're not to judge others, we're to judge themselves. It's the question I ask myself every day. It's what motivates me to everything I do. Is this something that's going to further the kingdom, or is it something that's not? Because I know it, I believe it. There's no one that will ever change my mind to it. I believe it with my heart, my mind, my soul, and my strength. I believe every word of the scripture. And I know that every single thing I do, it doesn't matter what man sees or not, that Yahweh is recording it in heaven. And that's all that matters. And it's not for position, because I always say this. You know, in the kingdom, we know it. Some will be over 10 cities, some over 5, right? So in the kingdom, just like the centurion said, I am a man in authority, right? Oh, there's people over him and there's people under him. I say to this one, go, and he goes, and this one comes and comes. And I could pretty much assure you that to every one of us, none of us are going to be at the top in the kingdom. And most likely none of us will be the very last person on the bottom, but if that's okay, I'd rather be the last person in the kingdom than the millions that don't make it. But the point of it is, you know where I want to be in the kingdom? I don't want to be at the top. Because I don't have the qualifications to serve at that level. And I don't want to be at the bottom because I can serve better than at the bottom. I want to be exactly where the gifts that Yahweh gave me can serve at the best. Because it's not about me. It's about serving to the best of my ability. And that's where each one of us should be. And that's why we have to be subservient to each other. Because there's gifts you have that I don't have. And there's gifts I have that you don't have. And that's what makes us a body. That's what makes us united. And that's what faith is all about. It's trusting Yahweh, because Yahweh said he gave the Holy Spirit liberally to each as it pleased him. I have people sometimes when they first come to the school, they say, I don't know what my spiritual gift is. Or they'll say, I don't know if I have any spiritual gifts. I say, don't say that, right? Presupposition, you know, someone's near you and they cough and you say, oh, now I'm going to get sick. No, presupposition, we don't want to do that. We don't want to presuppose bad things. We want to presuppose good things in faith. And if you say, I don't have a spiritual gift, you know what you're saying? You're saying that Yahweh's spirit is barren. Because it's Yahweh who gives the gift, and we all have them. You may not know what it is. And when someone says, I don't know what it is, I say, that's okay. You're going to find out before you leave here. You'll find out very quickly what that gift is. We have a training, you know, that, like I say, to me, I think it's the most important training in the world, because it's a training that will help you to what we're talking about here. It's a training that will help you eternally, because whatever you learn there, you're going to take it into the kingdom as long as you keep following those principles, you know. So that's what we have to decide. Do we want 4 years in a worldly education to do something that may never be there? I asked this question, another rhetorical question, that if you knew, if you heard right now, because there's a lot of technology coming out, right, all the time, and if you heard right now that they have this technology that within a year, there'll be no more glasses. There's something where they can just give you a pill or put something in your eyes and everybody will see. Would you go for the next 4 or 8 years to become an ophthalmologist? Would you be going to be somebody who does eyeglasses? Of course not, because you know it's going to be obsolete in a year. And that's my question you have to ask yourself. Are you doing something now that basically will be obsolete when the kingdom comes? And if you are, you need to start thinking about it. Are we being part of the solution or are we being part of the problem? Because that's faith, you know? And we all have to work. So there's jobs we can do, and anything like you do could be something that can be helping people in the simplest way. But are you doing something that is against the principles of Yahweh? And if you are, then you need to find something else, right? And that's what Yahweh says. That's what faith is, that we believe in these principles to the kingdom. Romans 14 and verse 22. Romans 14 and verse 22. Another in principle that says, do you have faith? Have it to yourself before Yahweh. Blessed is the one not condemning himself in doing the things he has selected. When we lived here in this old city 5.5 years, from 2000 to about 2005, and we used to meet many people in the old city. We lived in the hostel where the Africans are staying. And we used to meet people that would come and tell us they're living on faith. And they'd have no money, and constantly they would just be trying to beg off people. Constantly, I can't pay my rent, can't do this. That's not faith. Did you hear what I said? Do you have faith? Have it between you and Yahweh alone. Have it between yourself before Yahweh. Blessed is the one not condemning himself in the things he's doing. So if you're thinking you're living by faith, and all you're doing is constantly inconveniencing people, you know, by whatever, for money, trying to stay at their house, trying to do this, and your whole life is just one constant, you know, thing of inconveniencing people, that's not faith. That's not faith. It doesn't mean where there's a real need, we don't help people. But if that's your whole life, just constantly telling people your needs or constantly, you know, grubbing off people, that's not faith. Because then what you're doing is you're getting it from man. You're not getting it from Yahweh. So we want to make sure we don't fall into that trap where sometimes we're thinking we're living by faith and what we're doing is we're really just, it's just another avenue of getting it for ourselves. Matthew 17 and verse 14. Matthew 17 and verse 14. And having come toward the crowd, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Master, pity my son, for he has a demon and is afflicted. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they were not able to heal him. And answering Yeshua said, O faithless and crooked generation, until when will I be with you? Until when shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Yeshua rebuked it, and the demon came out from him. And the boy was healed from that moment. Then, coming up to Yeshua privately, the disciples said, Why were we not able to cast him out? And Yeshua said to him, Because of your unbelief. For truly I say to you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and not a thing shall prevail over you. And wow, you think about that. The very apostles that he said, because they did not have faith. We can never, ever, ever doubt. And that's why I say, when Yahweh shows you something is true, there's also what I call windows of opportunity, right? That Yahweh takes us from A to B to C, and we all know it in our calling. So if he took you from A to B to C, and now you get to D, and he showed you something, and you're not doing it, he's not going to take you to E and F, right? He's not going to take you to the next spot unless you do what he showed you to do. So if Yahweh comes and he shows you a certain thing from his word, and you're not acting on that, he's not going to give you something else to do. And life is a test. That's what he's bringing us here. But like he says here, if we had the faith of a mustard seed, it's the smallest seed. They grow all kinds of wild mustard seeds here. It's amazing. But we have to think of that. How does your faith grow? By using it. Why does Johnny run? Because Johnny runs and runs and runs. The more you show, the more you get. And I remember when we left Babylon back in 1999, and I was the Laodicean. I was a typical Laodicean because I left there thinking that I was so strong in faith. And I'm leaving because I have the faith to leave. And we went down to Honduras, and I realized I had no faith. That's when Yahweh just ripped off the mask from me and showed me, you're a Laodicean. And you know why? Because in Babylon, I never had to show faith. I never prayed for food. You know, I just went in my refrigerator and got it, you know. Every month, I'd get tunnel carpal system from all the checks I had to write out, you know. But I had a business from the time I was 12 years old. I had money. There was nothing. I never had to pray for water. I never had to pray for anything. And even when there were little things in my life, I felt like, I don't want to bother Yahweh. He has big things on his mind. I'll take care of it myself. Then we get down to Honduras. Yahweh rips everything away from us. And I was scared. Because I had no faith. And I started crying when I was praying. I said, Father, look, we're in an impasse here. I have no faith. I have to trust in your faith now. Because there was only two things. Go back to Babylon or totally trust in him. And there was one thing. I wasn't going back to Babylon. I was not turning back from where I came from. So for some people, you know, you could leave with all kinds of money, container and everything. Within 7 months, I lost everything. You might think, wow, I made a bad decision. Let me go back to Babylon and start over again. No way. Because you know what? The fact that I lost those things didn't mean that America wasn't Babylon. You know, that's why I say, look at the reason why you did something. It doesn't change. You know, the fact that I lost money didn't change what the scripture said. I had to look ahead. And that's what started my life and opened up my life like something never before. That's where I started, you know, when we were in Italy, we get to a place, we were wondering why it's so cheap to rent up there, and we find out there's no running water, you know, there's no sewerage. They only have a cistern there. And our cistern, like scripture says in Jeremiah, had a crack in it, cistern with no water. So, wow, you talk about faith, opening up in a dark, dark, pitch black cistern that me and my wife had to climb inside of there, not knowing what was inside. Clean that thing out. And I don't know. That's not my forte. I had the first thing to know how to do it. But we did. And Yahweh blessed us with it. And then for the first time in my life, I'm praying for rain. My whole life, I'm praying for sunshine. We have a baseball game today. We have a picnic. Please don't rain. And water is life. Water is life. So sometimes you have to leave your comfort zone for Yahweh to show you what real faith is. And sometimes we think we're living by faith. and yet it's a Laodicean spirit. So that's what we want to look at. I'm going to end here in a minute. The last scripture is Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 in verse 32. Because, you know, we're starting a new cycle now, a new cycle 7. And I do believe this is probably the most important 7-year cycle that we'll ever live in our life in modern times. Because so much is going to change in this 7-year period. And we're getting closer and closer by every year and every Shemitah to Yeshua's return. And that window of opportunity that we have is closing. And like I said, Yahweh shows you something, you don't act on it, that window may shut. Hebrews 11 and verse 32. The chapter on the fathers of the faithful. He says, "And what more will I say? For the time will fail me telling about Gideon, Barak, and also Samson and Jethro, and also David and Samuel and the rest of the prophets, who through faith overcame kingdoms, worked out righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the mouth of the sword, acquired power from weakness, became strong in war, made armies of foreigners to yield, restored to women their sons, raised people from the dead, but others were beaten to death, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection," like we saw with Stephen. "And others received trial of mockings and scourgings, yea, more, of bonds, of prison. They were stoned, they were tried, they were sworn to. They died by murder of sword. They went about in sheepskins and in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and ill-treated, of whom the world was not worthy, to say the least, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes of the earth. And having obtained witness through the faith, these all did not receive the promise. Yahweh having foreseen something better concerning us, that they would not be perfected without us." Right here, not far from here, just a few miles down the road, is the graves of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Rachel, Leah, and Rebekah. They're there. Many of you have been with us where we've seen it. They're laying in the graves. They're not up in heaven. They're not floating on harps. They're laying in that grave, and they've received nothing yet. Abraham was a stranger in his own land. Abraham will get his reward the same time we get our reward. And we have to show the same faith today that Abraham showed 3,800 years ago. How great is Yahweh, right? But that's what he says. If you doubt, you'll receive nothing. Do you want your name at the end of this list? You know, there's three books in the Bible. The word Amen literally means, you know, so be it. It's complete. Every book in the New Testament has an Amen, except for three, and the book of Acts is one, which means the book of Acts is still being written. You know, Acts 29 has your name in it, maybe. Do you want your name at the end of this list? Do you want to be one of those? Because remember, one of the things we do at our school is we ask people, what is your legacy? What do you want your legacy? If you die tomorrow, what will you want your legacy to be? Because everyone has one. If I say King David, right? What do you think of? Wow. Man after Yahweh's own heart, valor, whatever. If I say King Saul, what do you think of? Wow, compromiser, liar. We all have a legacy. You all will have a legacy. Once you're gone, you'll be remembered by something. Do you want to be remembered as one of these, as the faithful? Or do you want to be remembered as one of those who fell away? We have free will. It's what we do. And like I say, what we do today until the day Yeshua returns will depend on where you are for eternity. You just have to believe it. The book of Acts is still being recorded. In a world today that is cultic to fully trusting Yahweh for all, people think you're out of your mind. But I say, praise that. They say, you're brainwashed. And I say, amen. Yes, Yahweh is washing my brain from all of that filth of the world into his word. Praise Yahweh, I'm brainwashed. Some places you would even go, maybe prison, right? And different things. We have to trust in Yahweh for everything. In the world we live in today, it's okay to believe in a deity as long as you don't put your faith in that deity. And like I said, for me, I really pity the people of the world, because you know that as you look out there, there is no hope in this world. They have no hope and they're so sad. And yet for us, we have such the full assurance of the truth of what Yahweh is doing. We have to make sure we trust in Yahweh, in him alone, and he will hide us in that day of trial. So Yahweh bless. Have a great day, and we will see everybody later.